Good evening, all. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for June the 30th, 2025. We're now in the new month of Tammuz 4 in the Hebraic calendar of 5785. My name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga, and let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your abiding grace. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We see great changes happening in our nation, around the world. We see a boldness amongst your armies. We see a boldness in the body of Christ. And we thank you. We give praise and glory and honor. Lord, the devil's shaken in his boots, and we celebrate that and say that he shall not prevail. He shall not have his way. For as much as he is saber rattling, he will not avail. And we stand on your word. We stand on your promises. We stand on your goodness, Lord, that you have good in store for your people. You have good in store for your children, that millions and millions of souls are coming into a relationship with your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the 400 imams who have requested a Bible in Jordan. We thank you for your work that you're doing in the body of Christ. That those who are in a position to sow seed, those who are in a position to be planters in this time of harvest, are in position and are executing on what you've called us to do. So we give you praise, glory, and honor tonight, Lord. We ask you to guide us, guide our discussions, guide our prayer, and let this be an encouragement to each of us, a strengthening of us as the body gathers together, that we have a clearer understanding as we leave this evening of your calling upon us individually, corporately, and the times that we are in. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and alleluia. Let me see if April is on. If she's not, I'll blow a shofar I have in the recording.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are there. There you are, April. Okay, so if you have your shofar with you, feel free to sound it loud and strong.
Okay.
Armies of the Lord, come forth. We thank you, Lord. Your musicians go before you in a battle. And we declare your victory in advance in Jesus' name. Thank you, April. I want to start out this evening with a writing from My Utmost for His Highest. It's by Oswald Chambers. And he's had a couple of really good, thoughtful meditations in his publication. He's long passed, but he left a little a prayer book, and it's every day of the year, and he gives a thought. And I want to go back to June 27th with this particular one, and he takes a scripture from Jeremiah 1:8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. In the book of Jeremiah, God poses a question with a terrifying answer. Should you then seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for I will bring disaster on all people. But he also makes a promise. Wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life. Jeremiah 45:5. This is all God promises his children, that wherever he sends us, he will guard our lives. Our personal possessions are a matter of indifference to him. We have to hold them loosely. If we don't, there will be panic and heartbreak and distress. God is equally indifferent to our sense of what we deserve. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus suggests that when we are on his errands, there is no time to stand up for ourselves or to worry about whether people are treating us justly. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. It's in Matthew 5:11. To look for justice for ourselves is to be distracted from devotion to our Lord. Never look for justice in this world, but never cease to give it. If we're devoted to Jesus Christ, we know that we have no control over what we encounter. Our Lord's message for us is this: keep working steadily at what I've told you to do, and I will guard your life. If you try to guard it yourself, you will remove yourself from my deliverance. The most devout among us become atheistic in this regard. Rather than believing in God, we enthrone common sense and tack God's name onto it. We lean on our own understanding instead of trusting him with our heart. Add to that his writing for today, and it really speaks to what I see in the body of Christ a lot, at least in the circles that I move in. And he says, do it now. Matthew 5:25 says, settle matters quickly with your adversary. Jesus Christ is laying down a principle. We must do what we know we should, and we must do it quickly. If we don't, an inevitable process will begin to unfold. And before it is over, we will have paid all we have in agony and distress. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Matthew 5:26. God's laws are unalterable. We cannot escape them. This teaching of Jesus speaks directly to human nature. Naturally, I want my adversary to give me what is rightfully mine. But from our Lord's standpoint, it doesn't matter if someone takes advantage of me. What matters is that I do not take advantage of someone else. What matters is that I pay what I owe. It is a question of eternal and imperative importance to my soul. Am I insisting on my own rights, or am I looking at things from Jesus Christ's viewpoint and paying what I owe? Bring yourself to judgment now on anything unsettled in your life. Our insistence in proving that we are right is nearly always a sign that we've been disobedient. As long as you are disobeying any point of God's teaching, he won't prevent his Spirit from working on you, putting you through the inevitable process. No wonder Scripture urges us so strongly to keep in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. God is determined to have his children as pure and clean as new fallen snow. Isaiah 1:18. Have you suddenly turned a corner in one of your relationships and discovered anger in your heart? Confess it quickly. Put it right before God quickly. Be reconciled with that person. Do it now. I like Oswald Chambers. I encourage you to, if you haven't already in your journey in this life, had an opportunity to work through his My Utmost for His Highest. I encourage you to go online and get yourself a copy and, you know, put it on your nightstand or put it on your reading table or put it in the bathroom and just have an opportunity to really drink in what he says to your soul on a daily basis. I believe it'll enrich you. You know, there's so many things happening right now. Probably if I stay in this vein, I want to share something that I was working on painting a deck this last week, and I was listening to some podcasts, and I don't know if you know of a fellow by the name of John MacArthur. John MacArthur has been a charismatic preacher. He's been in the charismatic movement, in the prophetic movement for years. And he came out to say that he is stepping down from the charismatic and the prophetic movement. He says, I'm not stepping down from what God's word says and who Jesus is in my life, but I'm stepping down from the movement. And it hit me deeply, because here's a man who has walked, very influential. John MacArthur has been very influential, but he says enough with the smoke machines, skinny jeans, and all this prophetic. He says that it's not about what the prophets are saying. It's not about how you feel and how good the music makes you feel and all this sort of stuff. He says it's about the Word of God. And it was strong medicine, particularly if you come out of that part of the church. And I just was very inspired by his courage to not get caught up in the signs and wonders of what it is to walk a Christian life, what it is to follow the intimacy of a personal relationship with the Son of God, and not get distracted by the baubles and the tinsel. And I was very impressed with him. And it followed by a podcast from a Catholic priest. This man had been a Catholic priest for like 30 years. And he got rewarded for being a good priest and obedient and all that. And they sent him off to the Vatican. Well, at the Vatican, he started to realize that what he had dedicated his life to as a Catholic priest wasn't what they were doing. It was all about money, about investments, he wasn't even able to celebrate Mass there. He was became part of a committee that was rewriting the canon and rewriting scripture to suit this modern age. And he was horrified. He was horrified that he goes to the highest echelons in the Catholic Church, and it's not even true. And it was devastating to him. And then he found that, so he was, you know, being led higher and higher, deeper into some of these things. And then he realized that he was on the outside. He thought, wow. So he went to confide in one of these priests or one of his bishops or whatever, who was higher than him. And he goes, this isn't right. And he starts going on and kind of calling it out. And the cardinal or whatever says to him, the walls have ears. And he was silent. And he didn't talk to him anymore. And so he goes back to his room and he starts searching around and he finds a microphone in his simple little quarters at the Vatican. So he realized that he was, you know, they're listening to his every word. And so he eventually left the Catholic Church and went off to join a very simple community of folks who were not into the rituals, not into the Mass, not into all of the pomp and ceremony. They were just into a very simple relationship with God and the Word of God. And I can't remember if it was in Italy or somewhere else, but he just joined a very simple community where there was no church razzmatazz, no church theatrics, none of all the pomp and the ceremony. And he just found a very authentic walk with the Lord. And, you know, that, it was just interesting that God had kind of put these in my podcast feed one after another. And it just speaks to the fact that we all have to stay fresh in our walk with the Lord. We have to stay fresh and authentic as he speaks to us each day, as we are in his word, as we seek where it is that we are finding our spiritual nourishment. It's just so important for us to stay centered in the simplicity and the authenticity of who he is in our lives. And the final one in the trilogy of these podcasts came from four young ladies who had all come out of the New Age, had all come out of witchcraft and all sorts of manipulations, psychic manipulations and things. And they were having a four-way discussion exposing the treachery and the deception of witchcraft and all of these nonsense stuff that the New Age movement gets into, entrapping folks into getting closer to God, becoming more spiritual, just getting to higher levels of consciousness and all of this sort of stuff. And each one of them on their own just kind of poked holes in it all to say, no, they came into an authentic, real relationship with a living God, with Jesus Christ, and found marriage life. And just it just turned their hearts completely around. So I say that to say that God is on the move. He's doing some really exciting things around the planet. Before this call started, I was talking about Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets, in his one of his broadcasts this week, talked about how he just got back from, I think, Jordan, he said. He didn't name which country it was, but he through the podcast, he continually referenced Jordan. He said he was approached by an imam who requested 400 Bibles written in Farsi. And he asked him, well, what do you need 400 Bibles for? And he says, well, I have 400 imams who want to study the Word of God. Now, an imam, for those of you who don't know, are like the priests, if you like, in the Muslim religion. So those are leaders within their church, if you can call Muslim a church. And his comment to Dutch was, yeah, we're just really disappointed in Muhammad. He's not delivering on his promises, so we're disillusioned. It's not true. And Jesus has come to a number of Muslims in their dreams, and they want to know this God of the Bible. So beautiful and exciting things are going on. And I was at a partner's breakfast for Andrew Womack Ministries and Karis Bible College this morning. And we were sitting at a table. It's the beginning of the Summer Family Bible Conference. And we're sitting at a table with some elderly folks. And one couple had been pastors in Africa. Another couple have been on a number of mission trips through the Indian reservations, also in Africa. And we got to talking about one of my colleagues when I graduated Bible college. He was out there. You know, the rest of us kind of, we'd look over at Wayne and go, wow, what are you up to? Well, Wayne has a ministry in Kenya, South Africa, a number of Malawi, I think he's also has ministry there. And this is how exciting of what's happening in the body of Christ right now on planet Earth. So he's in Malawi. Six men were in a boat accident and they drowned. There was six guys in a boat and they drowned. They asked for the picture of Pastor Wayne. And so they took this picture because they'd heard of just amazing healings and things that have occurred in Kenya and in other parts of Africa. And so they took the picture out and they laid it on the water. Those six guys floated to the top of the lake and they came alive. And you're like, oh my God, right? Well, that isn't the half of it. In another part
Amen.
Of...
Amen, hallelujah.
Oh, it's happening everywhere. So in another part of Africa, in South Africa, this lady says, I want you to raise my son from the dead. He'd been dead 13 years. 13 years, and the guy comes back from the grave. I mean,
Amen.
You know, the God we serve, it's like, what is going on? How is it possible that in these other cultures, the people's faith is so simple? They just trust what God says in his word. You shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. You shall raise the dead, cast out demons. And we look at the church, we look at, you know, what the church is like in America, and it's like, boy, that should inspire us. That should inspire us to be bold in our faith, bold in our confidence in the God that we serve, and take him at his word. Because I tell you, revival is upon us. If you don't know it, I haven't recognized it yet. You know, I'm here to declare that the Third Great Awakening is clearly, we're right in the middle of it. And God's on the move. And for all the saber rattling, you know, of they're going to get back at Trump for his, you know, what he's done to the nuclear weapons facilities and stuff. It's just like, no, I don't believe that that's what we're going to see. We're going to see God move from strength to strength in these times. We have to be vigilant. We have to stand against it. But good things are upon us. Wow. Well, anybody have any comments before I go into the next section? I'm happy for you to unmute yourself and give any testimonies that you have.
Yes,
well,
wow.
You have to remember.
One at a time.
You have
to, give your name first.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
April.
Yes, April.
Thank you. What I was thinking of was that when Jesus died, you know, the tombs opened up and all these people came out of the graves. We don't know how long they were buried either.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, we limit God a lot, I think, with our Western mindset.
Yes, unfortunately.
Someone else had a comment. Was that you, John?
Yeah, I just said yes. Yes, wow.
Yes, what?
Wow, W-O-W.
Oh, wow. Yes, wow. Amen.
And greater works will we do than Jesus because he went to the Father.
Yeah, he's sitting at the right hand waiting to have earth as a footstool, right?
Yep.
This is Bride from Nevada.
Hi, Bride.
How you doing?
Good.
This all reminds me of some fun stories. Many, many... Oh, 30 plus years ago, I actually was going to seminary part-time. This was shortly after becoming a Christian because I figured, well, I needed to know more, to get out and, you know, I'm an evangelist for the most part, but to do all these things. And so I signed up for this seminary program part-time because I was working full-time and being in a mission. And I look at the curriculum and say, okay. Oh, I can't take the healing class until, wow, it's way late out there. All right, well, whatever. So I'm going through all of the classes and things, and it's all kind of dry and, you know, not really getting a lot out of it. Finally, the healing class comes. And so we start, you know, reading about healing, and then the professor starts telling us about stories happening in Africa, all these amazing healings because of the simplicity of faith. So, well, that's great. Why aren't we doing that here? And it was like, well, it just doesn't happen here. I go, what? I waited all this time for this? So I dropped out, just went back on the mission field or full-time on the mission field, or not full-time, but part-time focused on that. And it was like, here we are, right back in that same place.
Praise God. Well, what mission field did you go to?
There's a town, or I guess it's a city, in East Palo Alto. I was in high tech for almost 40 years in Silicon Valley, but there was this pocket where these enterprising realtors in the 40s had gone through, and there were these vacation properties in the section of Palo Alto, and the realtors went in there and they sold a couple properties to some black people, and then went to the neighbors on either side and said, "Hey, blacks are moving in. You better sell us your home and get out of there quick, you know, before property values just go through the floor." So they populated this whole community with blacks, and then it became blacks and Pacific Islander, all the low income groups. Anyway, I went in there with a group called City Team Ministries and was teaching Bible studies, sports, and all kinds of things to the youth in that area. I stayed with the same 8 kids for almost 10 years, got them all, dressed them all up, taught them how to interview, took them to the company I was working for, talked to the management there, said, "Hey, these guys need a break. You know, I practice their interviewing skills, talk to them. If you think they're good enough, hire them. And if they don't work out, don't treat them any, you know, they're not going to talk like we do or whatever, but they can do this work." And 5 of them survived that. One of them's a bank vice president now. One's a VP of sales and electronics there in the Bay Area. One's a chef. And one's a school teacher. So they all did great. It was a great ministry.
Oh, praise God. Good for you. Awesome. Yeah, there's ministry everywhere, isn't there?
Yep. Just open your eyes.
That's it. All right, so where are we at here? Let's do this.
Now give a shout back.
Hallelujah. God reigns. Well, we're in the new calendar month of Tammuz. Yahweh is in the battle. He leads the angel armies and he fights for us. This is a month of incredible heavenly encounters with angels and, more importantly, with Yeshua. It is a season of war, change, and preparation. The question is, are you ready? The worldwide focus over the past several weeks has been Iran and the nuclear threat they represent to Israel and the world. President Donald Trump pushes the button and the world lit up. The nuclear facilities were destroyed, but is the threat eliminated? What will be the result? Will it be the precursor to World War III? In times of stress, so many quickly forget that Yahweh is in charge. He has not stopped his plans for the world, or more importantly, the kingdom of God. This is an introduction by Chaplain Wade Butler. He said he watched an interview with the Jewish people who condemned President Trump and Israel, but God. President Trump issued a post on the evening of the 23rd, immediately after the Iran attacked Israel with rockets. Israel responded with the largest barrage of rockets to date. What is going on, many ask? It's about the kingdom and only the kingdom. There will be wars and rumors of wars, and even in peace talks, there will be deception due to man's degenerative state. Personal and national pride will cause nations to fall. I'd read more of Wade's introduction, but I'm going to encourage you all to go to the calendar. You can go to the Republic for the United States of America.org. You can tab over to where it says Divine Providence. Click on the top one, which is Divine Providence. You'll see my picture. You'll see the prayer call information. If you go down a little bit further, you'll see a little calendar icon. You can click on the calendar icon and you can download the June-July calendar Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z, 5785. And I encourage you to do that. What I wanted to transition to was, I think I told some of you on this call in the past, there's a great place called HisKingdomProphecy.com. It's a website that collects prophecies from prophets from all over the world. And I was struck by a post today from a gal who I've been seeing a few of her posts. I like what she has to say. Her name is Sarita Thomas. And she has an article here which struck me about this whole Israel thing in a very interesting way. She says, "My people Israel have forgotten me. I believe there is a solemn, very solemn word from the Spirit of the Lord. I heard in my spirit, my people Israel have forgotten me. Inquired of the Lord, what must I do with this word I heard? They have gone their own way, led by their lusts and pride, forsaken their deliverer. Yet I led them through the wilderness and many great waters, caused their enemies to flee from before them. Send my angels and give charge over them, defeated great kings and stubborn adversaries, that they would know my love for them. And they have forgotten me. They've gone whoring after other gods, even the gods of their ancestors. The children I have given them, they have soddened and caused to pass through the fire, even though I have forbidden them. Every man in their chambers is imagery, has imagery, idols in their hearts, mixed and compromised. They've trampled upon my laws, even not to kill and slaughter their brothers and sisters for unjust gain, relinquished them of their rights, abusing power, made covenants with the heathen. Yes, this I have seen, and I am greatly grieved. When their daughters, they have sold them for naught, and sons have lost their identity and sold their birthrights. Yet I have made a promise to never leave them nor forsake them, but my spirit will not always strive with men. Return to me, O backsliding Israel, you have long played the harlot. Tell them, return to me, and I will heal them of their backslidings." This word is a love letter soaked in grief. It speaks not only to the natural house of Israel, but also to the spiritual Israel, those who have been grafted in through Messiah, in Romans 11:17. Many today have forgotten the Lord, compromised with cultural idols, and forsaken their inheritance. But the heart of God cries, still cries, return to me. He's willing to heal and restore if repentance is sincere. This is not a soft call. It is urgent. The time of grace is narrowing. The spirit will not always strive. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. It's referring to Jeremiah 2:32. A voice was heard on the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Jeremiah 3:21. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. And she goes on here, scripture after scripture, recounting how God's people have turned away, have gone whoring after other gods, who have backslidden, who have done the golden calf, done so many things where they didn't have the confidence to trust God in the waiting. And the parallel to that is we are in a time of waiting. There's great change upon us. There's exciting things happening all around us. But we're also sweating the details. We're sweating the details of an uncertain economy. We're sweating details of a world order that's being rolled up and is being challenged. And So this is an exciting time. We need to stay vigilant, prayerful, and expectant of the good that God's doing in and through us. So this new calendar is something that I'm going to bring on our brother Bruce Dietler to tell us a little more about. He's done a one of the calendar writings for this month. In fact, I think it's for tomorrow. So, Bruce, give us an introduction, if you would, of the calendar, and then read us your writings for the... Well, you've got two writings, don't you, in the calendar this month?
Yeah, two of the same, as a matter of fact. Anyway,
The exact same thing?
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, I know you did, but I didn't get that when we talked on the phone. I thought you had two separate... okay, very good. Well... So that's for us slow learners who may not get it all in the first bite, huh?
Anyway, much good word in the calendar. Many of them, and I don't have one specifically in mind, are talking about the shaking that has come and is coming and is coming upon the land, and much of it is then followed by that this is not for the church. This is a time to seek the Lord, to get close to the Father, and to, you know, seek His face and to climb up on the mountain and so on to stay out of this. But a lot, you know, without going into any kind of detail on it, a very, very good sampling of articles and prophetic words that have come forth in recent days. Now, Robert mentioned I've got two different things here in the calendar. One of them is tomorrow, which is July 1st, and the same exact article had inadvertently been printed on the 15th. So you see us twice in the same month, both the same article. So
the 15th
is easier to read. The one on the 1st is the one on tomorrow. Actually, the formatting on it is a little bit crazy, so the editor or somebody needs to work a little bit more diligently. At any rate, that's beside the point. I was meditating. I was meditating the other day, okay, Lord, what would you have me to present this month? This, by the way, is number 50. We've done this 50 months in a row. This is our 50th presentation in the calendar. But the thing that struck me was, okay, we're entering into July, 4th of July. What is there about the 4th of July? I put one out last year. And the Declaration of Dependence, and it was, I thought, wow, this is revelatory to me. I thought, this is exciting. This is of God. He's really put this on my heart. And then I find out about everybody and his brother and sister writes a similar article at the same time regarding the same thing. Well, at least it's good confirmation that I heard something from the Lord, or either that or everybody else missed it as well. But the Lord put this on my heart, and this is a sort of a circuitous type of a paper. It goes in three different directions, but it all comes to a point of hopefully encouragement to us, and it goes along very well with the other content of the calendar offerings. So I titled this Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land. I'm thinking, okay, well, 4th of July, Liberty Bell, Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land, which happens to be part of the inscription on the Liberty Bell. So I started doing some research and studying on it. I've seen the Liberty Bell. I'm from New Jersey initially and have been to Philadelphia and seen this, and it's very, you know, impressive to see. So I've got a picture of this on the article, which shows the Independence Hall behind it, which is where it's located. It's in its own pavilion, apart from the Independence Hall. But the Pennsylvania Independence Hall was constructed in 1748. In 1751, in order to commemorate the 50th year anniversary of William Penn's original Charter of Privileges, which was Pennsylvania's first constitution, the Pennsylvania state legislators commissioned to be hung in their new state house in Philadelphia a bell that would toll to celebrate important events or as a call to gather. So the state house had been established or built in 1748. 3 years later, the bell was commissioned. 2 years later, it was hung. So it was hung in 1753. And it had been rung a number of times for various important moments during the American history prior to and after July of 1776. One of the times, and I did not mention this in there, but one of the times that it had rung was when Benjamin Franklin was sent back to London to proclaim liberty for the for the United States before the United States declared their independence. So it rung at that point. But it also then rung on July 8th of 1776. The purpose being on that day was to summon the citizens of Philadelphia for the very first public reading of the Declaration of Independence, which had actually been signed on July 2nd. Not the 4th. The reason we celebrate the 4th is that's the day that it was first published in the newspaper. But at any rate, so the bell rang out on July 8th. America had declared its national independence from Great Britain. Now, coming up next year in 2026 is the semi-quincentennial anniversary. That's 250 years since the founding of this nation as an independent nation from Great Britain. So this is now rapidly approaching. Philadelphia has any number of different big events planned in celebration of this big event. And so they're expecting countless tens of thousands of individuals to descend upon the city. And unquestionably, one of the sites virtually everybody will purpose to see is this big bell. Now, what anybody probably remembers about the bell, if you've seen pictures of it, you see this big crack in the bell. So everybody remembers the Liberty Bell with its iconic crack. That's not the most important thing about the bell, and I'm going to get into that momentarily, but the crack that you see on the bell now is not the original crack. It actually cracked and was repaired several times during its history. It was even totally recast once, and it cracked again. And then in 1864, after ringing in celebration of George Washington's birthday, it cracked yet again with a crack that was beyond repair, which is the crack you now see, and the bell was then taken out of commission finally. So it now stands in its own little pavilion some distance away from the front of the Independence Hall, and you can see that in the background there in the photograph. But the greater significance of this bell is the inscription and the date. The date, 1751, was the date of commissioning. Again, as I said, this is the 50-year anniversary of Pennsylvania's first constitution. 50 years is a jubilee. That was a jubilee of that event, a jubilee being a significant biblical event ordained by God in the presence of Moses in Leviticus chapter 25. And the jubilee was to be celebrated every 50 years by all the Jewish nation. The inscription on the bell says, or it reads, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all inhabitants thereof." And that is only a partial rendering of Leviticus 25:10. Now, Leviticus 25:9 and 10 together read in their entirety. Listen to this. It says, "Then shall you cause the shofar to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is Tishri 10, on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, shall you sound the shofar throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Now, some archaeological and biblical evidence suggests that this year, the Hebrew year 5785, which we are in right now, which began actually in March of 2025, that this year is the 70th Jubilee since Israel entered into the Promised Land in 1406 B.C. So assuming that date is correct, and there's a little bit of debate about that, many believe that this year is the 70th Jubilee of that. So whether or not that is the actual Jubilee is up for debate, but the year 2025, the Catholic Church has declared this year as the year of Jubilee. The last one was celebrated in the year 2000, which you will note by your quick math skills is only 25 years ago. The Catholic Church celebrates a Jubilee year every 25 years, and God only knows why, but that's what they do. And during the Jubilee, believers, Catholic believers, are encouraged to repent of their sins, forgive the sins of others, and to renew a focus on their walk with Christ. All well and good. In the Hebrew tradition, Jubilee is more involved than that. The Jubilee was celebrated with several different specific criteria. Number one is the freeing of all slaves. Two, the forgiveness of all debts. Three, the return of all land or property to its original owners, the purpose of that being that families would retain their ancestral land. And the fourth thing is that it's a year of rest and celebration, marking a time of joy and renewal for the community. It is also a year when no agricultural work is to be done and the land is allowed to rest. Now, 4th of July coming up, we typically celebrate Independence Day with great joy, pride in our nation, historical reflection of what the day represents. But the greater insight we as Christians need to grasp from this is that Jesus' ministry actually began on the Day of Atonement in 26 A.D., the start of a year of Jubilee. In his first public address, Jesus, Yeshua, quoted from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, which is also found in Luke 4. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, that verse, which Yeshua applied to himself, contains the phrase there at the end, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is a direct reference to the Jubilee. He concluded his reading with the words, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So they have entered into the Jubilee. Now, it's interesting, it was very interesting to me in studying on this. Apparently, there is no record of Israel ever having celebrated the year of Jubilee fully by fully complying with all the requirements to forgive the debts, free the slaves, etc. But Yeshua, Jesus, came to fulfill the law. That was part of the law. So in Jesus's life, death, burial, and resurrection, he fulfilled all the requirements for the Jubilee. So, when he was hanging on the cross, his final pronouncement on the cross, he declared, "Tetelestai," or "Tetelestai," however it's properly pronounced, which was to say, "It is finished. The price is paid. I have done all that I came to accomplish." That word, tetelestai, was also typically written on business documents or receipts in New Testament times to show that a bill had been paid in full. and those who heard or read the material that John was presenting, his audience, Greek-speaking readership, would have unmistakably understood that Yeshua had died to pay for their sins. Now, think of that in light of the Jubilee. The slaves, the captives are set free. We are captives to sin. We were set free by the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. Now, there are a number of other scriptures that I pulled together here that all relate to this. And think of each one of these. I'm going to read through about seven or eight of them here. But think of these in relation to Jubilee and the four things that were done on Jubilee. The forgiveness of all debts, the freeing of slaves, return of land or property to the original owners, and a year of rest and celebration. First one is Galatians 3:13. He, this is all Yeshua, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Set the captives free. John 1:29, he took away the sin of the world. Again, same thing, set the captives free. Romans 6:23, he gave us eternal life. We were returned to our inheritance. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus freed us from the law of sin and death. He fulfilled the law. 1 Peter 18:19, he redeemed us by his precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As we take communion later, think of that. The blood was the redemption. By his stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, Yeshua, was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Another translation of that says, there is therefore now no powerlessness. So our power has been returned to us, to those who are in Christ Jesus, Yeshua. Colossians 2:13, 14 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, made you alive, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross and setting the captives free. Last one, Romans 5:18, as by the offense of one, being Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, being Yeshua, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, just as if we had never sinned. The Bible admonishes us as the redeemed of the Lord to say so in Psalm 107:2. I am redeemed, therefore I say so. I am the redeemed of the Lord. The Jubilee has taken effect. I am redeemed. Glory to God. Say so. Yeshua has made us free. We are free indeed. John 8:36. I am free indeed, therefore I say so. Glory to God, I am free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. We're looking for liberty, the liberty bell, so on. I have liberty in Christ, therefore I say so. Glory be to God. So as we celebrate Independence Day this year and each year, we Americans owe a tremendous debt of gratitude, obviously, to all the forefathers and the many patriots who fought and died for the liberty and the precious freedoms we enjoy as citizens in our great nation. But at the same time, we need to remember and give thanks eternally to Christ, Yeshua, the one who died for us, gave us that perfect redemption through his precious atoning blood. It is through his sacrifice that we are free to be all he has called us to be. Our many sins, our failures, our inadequacies, our limitations, all were nailed to the cross with Christ, and therefore, let us celebrate. Our jubilee is realized. Rejoice in the great liberty we enjoy in and through Yeshua. I've got Galatians 5:1. Now, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Recognize we have been set free, we have been redeemed, our jubilee is realized, rejoice in the faithfulness of God. Now, I've got a couple of more things I wanted to share. These are, contrary to John MacArthur, I have not given up on prophecy. But these are a couple of very recent prophetic words that have come forth, and these are just snatches out of several. Julie Green had a prophecy that was posted on June 12th, and she said in part, "My children, this is the hour of my power. I told you the year 2025 is the year my church comes alive. Your enemies are pulling out all the stops and everything that they can think of to stop this from happening. They're going to try to throw so many things at you at one time. Just remember, you will see my glory. You will see my judgment on your enemies. You will see that nothing is bigger than me. You will see my protection is on you. You will see and experience a great restoration." Think again, jubilee. "You will know that I am the great I am, the God of the book of Exodus, and that I am the same God today. Your enemies want war, but I am bringing you freedom, a freedom your enemies cannot stop, because they cannot stop anything against me. My hand is moving to move your enemies out of the way. Continue to stand as I heal your land, says the Lord of hosts." June 25th, just the other day, Lana Vosser from Australia had a word, and she said in part, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look to me, for I am where your help comes from." Psalm 121. "I say unto you that the ravaging has been great, and it has been intense, but it is nothing compared to the level of recompense and restoration that I am bringing into these ravaged places." Again, think jubilee. "By the power of my hand, I say unto you, you will see such deep restoration and recompense in these areas of your hearts and lives on such an unprecedented scale that any trace of where this ravaging has taken root or had effect will no longer remain. I will completely restore, and I will recompense far beyond what has been devastated, laid waste, demolished, wrecked, and plundered. I say unto you that you will not move forward in this season with battle scars, but you will move forward in this season healed, whole, and restored." Two others here quickly. Lana Vosser from today, actually. She said in part, she said, I then heard the Lord say, "Flourishing freedom. It is flourishing freedom. I am calling you out. Come out, come out, come out. I am taking off the grave clothes and the garments you have been wearing that were as a result of all the words spoken against you in the past few years. They're coming off. I say unto you, my daughters, that I am mantling you afresh. I am mantling you afresh, and you shall co-labor with me and move with me in flourishing freedom and divine vision and sight in many ways. There is a resting in and returning to what I have called you to. There is a fresh mantling coming upon you. In the days ahead, you will see the effects of this mighty next level untethering that I am doing in your lives. It will leave you in awe of me. You will feel brand new with a sense of hope and vision. I will increase inside of you, and the joy, my joy and expectancy that will roar within you and through you, that will lead many others into restored hope and freedom. It's time to shake off, through your declaration over your lives, through your mouth, declare what I am speaking. It's time to shake off the agreement with any words that are not in line with what I'm speaking. I'm bringing a violent shaking against the enemy and all words that have been spoken over you to contain and constrict you. Rebuke them and refuse them in my name and tear them down through the declaration of what I am speaking over you in the power of my word. Plead my blood over your lives and stay under my blood, the power of my blood to cover and deliver. For some of you, it's time to shake the dust off your feet. For some of you, it's time to shake off the insecurity by coming deeper into hearing my voice and my words being spoken over you. The enemy has come with a heavy onslaught against many of you to lure you deep into insecurity in this hour and to steal your instruments and tools. But I say unto you, listen to my voice and my words over you. Receive a greater revelation of my love for you and see that in this hour there is a new depth of freedom you are stepping into and a mighty increase upon the instruments I have given unto you. And finally, from today, Marietta Wilkinson, another short word, she said, I heard yesterday, June 29th, freedom, 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 says the Lord, a freedom as you have never known. It is the freedom from the yoke of your enemy. For this is the time of my freedom, the freedom bought and paid for on the cross, and a freedom you have not known before. Arise into my freedom and into the fullness of my kingdom. As you do, my kingdom will begin to permeate the darkest areas on earth, for you are entering a beautiful season of my glory on earth as it is in heaven. So rejoice, says the Lord, and receive your hour of visitation. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord, as Robert has prayed earlier, that your word would penetrate our heart, would accomplish all of your will and your purpose and plan for our lives. Father, we rejoice in the great salvation, deliverance, and freedoms that you brought us through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. I thank you, Father, every promise in your book is ours, and you have declared we are set at freedom. We are set at liberty. We are free, and free indeed to worship you. Father God, let this July 4th and all month and the days and years ahead be days of rejoicing in the liberty we enjoy in Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us be a witness and a testimony to others of the joy you have set before us through your Son, Yeshua. We give you the glory and the praise now and forever in his precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, Bruce, I don't have the Liberty Bell. The best I've got is a temple bell. So I'm going to play that, and then I got a question for you. I just want to say this is such a rich article that you have in the calendar with regards proclaiming liberty with the 50-year jubilee and the implication of that, of this being the 250th year for America. There's a profound timing of this, isn't there? Of this particular July 4th, this particular time in not only our nation's history, but even biblical history.
Yeah, it all coincides, doesn't it? You know, this is not something that someone just cooked up.
Yeah.
The Lord came with us, came up with this many, many years ago, and it's interesting, too, as I just noted, this is the 50th article that we have submitted to the calendar. So.
Oh, and I missed that. Yeah, you got a jubilee going on yourself.
You do.
Wow.
I'm going to take the next year of rest and not offer anything else.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, no offerings? I gotcha. Okay. All right.
And anyway, no. Anyway, it was a blessing to me to, you know, get the background on all of that and see how that applies to us. And we, you know, we go along with our daily plod, you know, through life, you know, how am I going to pay for this, that, or whatever, and we don't look at the bigger picture. And God is looking from the 40,000-foot elevation down on all of this, and we need to come up higher and see from his perspective how we relate into his plan and purpose, what he has already done through Yeshua for us that we don't even recognize, and it's all throughout the Word of God. He came to fulfill the law. Every law was fulfilled through Yeshua. It's remarkable.
It isn't, you know, you brought up something in the calendar which struck me. I never, ever looked at Jesus coming and his ministry being a time in the start of the year of Jubilee.
Yep.
And you talked about it as, I don't understand how you got the Day of Atonement in 26 AD is the year of the Jubilee, which is a 50. So I guess it's probably the way the calendar runs.
Well, yeah, their calendar runs different from ours.
Right.
And if you go on the internet and look for the year of Jubilee, which I did to try and figure it out, they have different, you know, like 2023 or 2025. It depends on, you know, when you start the counting from. As I said, if you assume, as was suggested, that the that they entered the land of Israel in 1406 B.C. the nation entered across the Jordan in 1406 B.C. If that's the date, then you've got 70 jubilees, 70 50s after that, which brings it to this year. And whether or not that is, you know, the Catholics say it is, so I guess that matters. Anyway.
Right. Must be true, right?
Must be true.
Yeah, it must be true. Well, thank you, brother. That was really, very, very excellent. Very excellent.
You're blessed. Thank you, Robert.
So, Brian, I want to go back to a comment you made earlier in the call, and you talked about when you were going to seminary and you're looking at all the healing and seeing how that wasn't happening in that environment. I remember when I was first introduced to the teachings of Andrew Womack and how he takes God's word and brings it alive and very much challenges this concept in the church that, that happened back in Jesus' day. It doesn't happen in our day. So a lot of the church is very happy to just say, oh, no, that happened in Jesus' time. We can't expect those sort of miracles today. We can't expect those sort of signs and wonders. We can't possibly do what Jesus did. And never mind the fact the Word of God says so, but what I wanted to say about that is that I found myself thirsting for people of like mind with other believers who believed what I was sensing. It's like, why can't we do what the Word of God says? Why can't we be laying hands on the sick and they'll be healed? Why can't we raise the dead? And it's interesting, when your heart gets really thirsty for that, you start to draw others of like mind to yourself. And I'm excited to say that there is a move in the body of Christ. It's not satisfied with church as it used to be. It's not satisfied with status quo. The younger generation wants more authenticity. They don't want the same old, same old. And so on that, I picked up a little book today. It's called A Believer or a Disciple. And Andrew Womack actually wrote this little booklet. He gave it to us actually at the partners breakfast this morning. He said, it says in a little booklet, it says, this is a question, what's the difference between being a believer and a disciple? This is a question many Christians have never asked. In fact, the term believer and disciple are often used interchangeably, but there is a difference. And he refers to John 8, verse 30-32. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So there's a lot of folks there who believed on him at that time. But he said, if you want to be a disciple, you need to continue in my word. So I find that for those of us who have been on the journey of being followers of Jesus for a number of years, the question is, do we just believe on him, or are we actually disciples? Do we follow what he says in his word? Do we take the time to make the word come alive in our own lives? Brian, would I be putting you on the spot if I asked you to lead us in communion this evening?
I'm actually out in the wilderness right now, and I have cell reception, but no elements. But I can do my best, I guess.
Well, anything liquid could work. And
I have a cup of water here.
That can work. Some people say you can use Coke or something. I'm not sure I can stretch it quite that far, but so for those of you who are new to the call, we do take communion together. So if you'd like to get the elements, either a piece of bread or a cracker or some juice and or wine, or in Brian's case, some water. Do you have any opening thoughts you'd like to share before we go into communion, Brad?
Well, back to your point on discipleship. Right before Jesus ascended, and the disciples were grumbling, saying, wait, no, he said, well, I have to go or I can't send my Holy Spirit, after which you'll do greater things than even you saw me do. And that's been a driving a sense of urgency for me all my Christian life. And I'm more expectant and more excited now than ever before in my walk about what's happening and the way Jesus is teaching, or Yeshua is teaching each and every one of us, and leading us into new ways of sensing him and experiencing him, and just the things that are coming. So it's an incredibly exciting time and fulfillment for me of that particular scripture.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, just more. I see that the deeper we dive into his word, the richer it becomes. Just, you can read the same thing 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, and each time draw something new and fresh from it.
That's the hardest thing to get Christians that are not really full disciples, that aren't really reading their Bibles. And I have that, a lot of that going on in the assembly where I am right now, where they'll, I don't read my Bible. So, well, you're missing it. And well, so-and-so said this and this and this. And so there's a lot of lies and things out there about really what is in the Word and how powerful it is. And, when you start out, you're just reading words, right? And the logos. But then as you grow and you learn and you move on in your Christian walk, you start getting the rhema, right? The inspired word. And so like you said, you said 10 times, oh my gosh, I never saw that. Well, of course you did it. You read it, but you weren't ready for it. Now it's yours. Just reveal it to you.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true.
It's a beautiful, beautiful walk. And I tell them if, all those distractions or excuses to not have you in your Bible, you would never hear any of that from someone that is in their Bible every day. You'll only hear it from somebody that maybe read parts of it, took things out of context, did this or that. But somebody that's in their Bible every day, you'll never hear that. And they're walking on a different level.
You know, it's interesting, too. I think God does move us along. Sometimes we get kind of satisfied in the church group we're in. We're comfortable. But they don't believe. They don't believe what we believe, And I was sharing with a guy this morning, and he was saying how he was in his church. He was he came from being a Baptist minister, and so then he goes back to the church, and he had some small church or something. And he was invited to be the associate pastor, and he was rebuffed because he was discovering the Holy Spirit and discovering speaking in tongues. And he recognized right then, it's like, well, I'm done here. This isn't where I belong anymore. I can't deny what God showed me. You know, and so we do. I think God calls us to be courageous, to move on when we are no longer able to sit under a type of fellowship or a type of teaching which is not complete for us.
And that was an important part, or a key part of your message today, I think. And Ashbert, it happens in all aspects of our life. We get comfortable in a job or in a ministry, whatever it is, right? We get kind of, and he doesn't want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be following him wherever he sends us, you know, all the time.
I think of Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker was a brilliant PhD type of theologian or whatever else. And God said to her, are you willing to follow me? She goes, yeah, sure. He says, okay, go to, where was it? Not Zimbabwe. What was the country she went to? Maybe it was Zimbabwe. And
Mozambique.
Thank you, John. Yeah, it was Mozambique. And God said to her, I want you to go and just sit on the street. Sit on the street. And she goes, really? Okay. So she goes to Mozambique and she sits on the street. And it bursts her ministry, and she's got astounding. So it's one of the poorest countries in the world. And she literally sits around the table and prays with her team and waits for food to come. And then when it comes, she takes it and multiplies the loaves and the fishes and feeds all these hundreds of thousands of people. And it's like, and she just has this, she came from the Western culture being so smart, and God just said, go sit on the street.
Yep.
Anyway, the floor is yours, Brad.
All righty.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, Yeshua, thank you so much for being with us. We're gathered here in your name, as always on Mondays, Lord, so thank you for being here with us. Lord, you've given us some just amazing promises and some wonderful imagery, things to remember, as you did in the first communion, Lord, where you broke the bread before the disciples and let us know, let them know, and us through your word, that was your body, a symbol of your body being broken, Lord, for all of us. So now, please, all, take your bread or your cracker and break it and take it with me. Lord, we did that in remembrance of you. And similarly, Lord, you lifted up your cup of wine and you said you would not drink of this again until you ascended with your Father in heaven. Lord, we do as you did now. We take up your cup and we drink in remembrance of you and the blood you shed for us. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Yeshua, for this time we've had, just a very inspiring, enlightening time. Please go before each and every one of us the rest of this day, this week, and through these exciting times. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen, I want to open up the floor. If there are any praise reports, any prayer requests, or any testimonies anybody like to share? If so, just unmute yourself, say your name, and share.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Janet.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I have two questions. Last week I sent you a couple of emails. I just wanted to make sure I got them right to you.
Yes, you did. And
okay, good.
One of them I did, Janik. What was the email address they were from, or the
head? J_M_Robleski.
J_M. There it is. I see it. Hold on. Let me just pull it up.
I just want to make sure.
Inspiring story. Can I read it?
Oh, I would love that. I was so emotional when I read that. I was just, what a beautiful story.
Now, this is not your story, is that right?
No. This is one that came to me, and I read it, and it just really moved me. It touched me.
Okay. I got one from you. I got one email from you. So
we have a second one, which was sent the day before, on the 23rd, and it was about the American Miracle Divine.
I didn't see that one in my feed, but I do have the one of the...
I'll resend it.
Okay, very good. I'll read the first one that you sent from the 24th, okay?
Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Inspiring story of faith. I woke this morning and read this story that shows me the direction of faith the people of our nation are moving towards. And it was truly inspiring in a way I want to wake each morning. This morning, on my way to a safety meeting, I witnessed an accident about a quarter of a mile ahead. But this post isn't about the accident itself. It's about the truth. In the car was a black woman in her 60s. She lost control, went off the highway, and then overcorrected, sliding across both lanes before flipping over into a ditch. I stopped, turned on my hazards, and ran toward the car. A few others joined me. A black man in his 30s, wearing work clothes, who was driving a semi-truck, and I crawled around the car looking inside. We could only see the woman. The front of the car was crushed, but the back was still in good shape. All the doors were locked. We tried to break a window with no luck. A white woman in her 40s, wearing a ball cap and talking on the phone with the police, handed us a tire iron. The black guy tried again, but couldn't break the window. Then another black man around 50 in a business clothes brought us a shovel. The first man tried to jab the window with it, but it still couldn't break it. I took the shovel and swung it like a baseball bat, shattering the window. A young black man in his 20s, wearing saggy jeans and a t-shirt, showed up. He crawled through the window, into the front seat, and unlocked the door. The driver was laying on the roof with her legs twisted in all directions. I opened the door and spoke to her, making sure she was conscious and not badly hurt. The first black man and I helped pull her out of the car. Once we got her out, the crowd cheered, "Praise Jesus!" She was helped away from the car and laid down on the ground. I didn't see any injuries on her, and she seemed okay, considering everything. I walked around the car and shook hands with everyone who helped. That's when I noticed the driver's Bible beside the car. A lady picked it up and handed it to her. The crowd started praising Jesus again. Now, here's the point of the story. In those few minutes, nothing mattered except helping someone in need. It didn't matter who we were, our race, income, or politics. There were people from all walks of life working together to save this woman. We all came together And though I didn't know if everyone there was a Christian, I do know the crowd was praising Jesus, thanking him for keeping the woman safe and putting the right people in the right place at the right time. As a country, we need to stop focusing on things that don't matter and focus on what's truly important. My wife always asks why I end up in these situations. As Chris Kyle would say, I'm a sheepdog. I believe God has a purpose for me and uses me when others are in need. Credit goes to the respective owner. I don't know if that's Lassie or some other type of sheepdog. That's great, Jen. Thank you.
You're welcome. I just thought it was nice because all these people from different walks of life came together and all praised Jesus.
Oh, that's the way it should be, right?
Amen.
I agree. I will find a way to resend that, the miracle, the American miracle. And I get a picture of that shirt and everything else in there. So let me.
You'll figure that out. Okay.
I will.
Very good. Thank you so much.
I did have a prayer.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Can you deal with that? Okay.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, knowing that you're the Lord who heals all. We ask that you take away sickness, infirmity, and pain from our family, friends, and all who need you right now and restore them to health. We thank you for sending our son into the world who drove out evil spirits and with a command and cured all who were sick. Your love and compassion have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask for your Holy Spirit to flow through us and for the destruction of Satan's work in our lives. We trust in your promise to forgive all our sins and heal all of our diseases. We believe that Jesus' wounds, we have been healed. We give you all the glory and praise. Please continue to keep also our republic under your protection and with a special focus on Gene and David Hertler for their continued good health and their work with our republic to see it come to fruition. Amen.
Amen. Do you have an update on Soren?
Soren is home. Soren is, I think, he's going to camp.
Yeah, he didn't want to be
he's your typical 7-year-old boy. He is just energy personified. He's, praise God, he is doing so well.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah. And Gene and David are doing well, working hard, trying to get her third book together, and it's really, I can't wait. I can't wait to read Wade's book.
Yeah, that should be coming out pretty soon now.
Now, you gave the name of the book last week, and I didn't have my pen with me.
Oh, now you're asking me. Yeah. Bruce, I know you know what the title is. Could you tell us something about a seer?
Yes, yeah, something seer.
The heart of a seer ascending to the Father.
Heart of the seer ascending to the Father. Chaplain Wade Butler.
The heart of the seer ascending to the Father. Michael's writing it down for me.
Can I ask for a volunteer to close us in a word of prayer?
Sure. I can say a prayer.
April, hold on a second. Well, go ahead, Meredith. What were you going to say?
Nope. I'm giving it up to her. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, God put you on my heart about it, so I just want to give you an opportunity.
Let her go. Go ahead. Punt.
Go
you
ahead,
want me
Meredith.
To go?
Yep, sure do.
Okay. Just took off my glasses.
Heavenly Father, we come before you with a humble heart, seeking your divine protection and strength for our republic. Lord, keep us healthy and strong that we may continue to forge and triumph in unwavering love and dedication to stand up for our interim government. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us return all freedoms and sovereignty to all patriots, hedging protection over all the members of the Republic, and give us all your wisdom that supports us to prevail in our endeavors nationally, state, and locally. As we grow and prepare to embark on our journey as the Republic for the United States of America, I ask that you guide us with your wisdom and grace, protect us from the challenges of this world, and let your light shine brightly on our path. Father, grant us the strength to live independently, maintaining our health, joy, and vitality. Let every day be a testament to your goodness and mercy, and may your efforts inspire others to seek truth in your presence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank Amen. You so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen, everyone. Thank you so much for feeding. It was wonderful.